one of the things, and I don't know this, that I have, and it's kind of hard to start this way, but I'll start this way, because this is the first thing that came to mind. Don't feel like you're the only one or the only style that God can use in ministry. Because I sometimes, you know, we are, God has worked in our lives in particular ways. And this is not to say that what we're doing is certainly not valid, because it is. But sometimes we get so wrapped up and engrossed in what we're doing that we feel like that we're the only ones that God is really blessing. Or we're the only ones who's really got it on the ball. And so that, I think this is a trap. If there's anything I've learned about Satan in my lifetime, is that he is he's just what the Bible says he is. He's a cheat, he's a deceiver, he's a liar. And he'll rob us of victories in our life and joy in our life, because he'll trap us with side issues. And that it won't, he'll be working on things that are good or that are better in our life, but he'll be keeping us from the best in our lives. And it'll be very subtle, and we'll not even know it's happening until sometimes it's almost over. So I think this is one of the places when God has blessed a ministry, then Satan will move in on that and on people's lives, and there'll be coming out of that an air of pride. And it's not intentional exactly, but that's just the way it comes out to other people. And so I would share that for whatever it's worth in your ministries and in your lives. Another thing that I would share is be grateful for the vision that God has given to Southern Baptist men and women down through these years. And as I have the opportunity now to travel more than I ever have, as far as getting a look at some of the ministries that are going on, I'm really grateful for it, because I have the opportunity not only to see our own work, but to see the work of other churches and other denominations and ministries, you know. And many of them aren't tapping the source that is there for their lives, you know, and the work that Southern Baptists are doing at this time. So the vision of all types of ministry that are going on in the lives of Southern Baptist work in home missions and foreign missions and ministry like this, and through the Sunday School Board and things. Many things that are going on out there now in various parts of the world, wouldn't be happening, at least from this source or from this channel, of Southern Baptist life if it weren't for the vision of some men who have given and who are training and preparing people. So there's really something that is valid. You know, I know that my own ministry would, in Southern Baptist life and in Baptist student work, would not be, you know, if you all come out of Baptist life and background, each of you, then you at one point or another have been touched by the lives of people who were teaching in the grades of classes, who were having a part in ministry of some church. I grew up in a little church in Illinois, for example, and it's still just a little church. It's been a little church, and it still is a little church, you know, and out in the country. And yet, right there is where God began to plant some of the things in my life. Those old people there are still there, you know, and they don't have much vision, and they don't have much direction, you know, and that kind of thing, but they were faithful in the little job that they were doing, and people who gave, and people who have prayed, and so on, and they had a part in my life. I was, as I mentioned last night, I was in a little church in New Orleans, Louisiana, out in the swamps. We literally drove through the swamps there to get to that church the other day. And they were meeting in little trailer houses and so on. And I shared with them during the Sunday school hour with some of the men there, and I just basically started quoting some of the verses and some of the passages that God had put in my heart. And some of them were, very poor and humble guys, not much education, not much direction for their life, seemingly, from what you, as far as ministry and so on. But they were blessed by the Word of God. And even to the point of tears, we just had a good time and feast on the Word of God. They were wanting to know how that they were a part. First thing they asked me when I finished, do we have a part in your ministry as you go around and share with people, with students, and with, and they were really thrilled. That was a thrill to their lives for them to hear me say that they had a part in my ministry as I go across our nation sharing the gospel and the good news of Christ. And by giving through the cooperative program and the Sunday school literature and things like that, they were having a part in a ministry that was worldwide, So from this perspective, there's a lot wrong in Southern Baptist life. There's a lot of things that we don't like, but there's a lot of good. And so what I'm saying is be grateful for that and pick up on that part of it and be about bringing the best in people's lives. In Proverbs 18:20, it says, "It is harder to win back the friendship of an offended brother than to capture a fortified city. His anger shuts you out like iron bars." And sometimes in our zeal, and sometimes in our ministry, we become so strong that there are people around us that we offend. And then we have no further influence in their life, at least for that time, until it soothes over or until they're healed or till they come. Right or wrong, regardless of what we might have been saying or doing, may have been exactly right, but the way we said it may have offended them. And when it does, that's it for that moment. And the potential that they have and the potential that we might have had of ministering to their lives is closed. Now, I'm convinced that Satan will work right there in our lives and will take us and cut us off and to keep us from bringing the best potential out of those people's lives. So this is something that I would watch and something that I would ask God to do as we are part of this. I believe, I had the chance and the privilege or thing of growing up in college there and God getting a hold of my life and beginning to put the Word in my heart and growing under the Navigators, a guy that helped me at Rolla, Missouri. And I prayed a lot about God, about going with them in my own life and ministry, because they had meant a lot to me and had helped me, and I still have a great respect and warm spot in my heart for their lives. But one of the things that I saw in our lives, in our Southern Baptist life, was that there was a need for ministry of the Word of God in our fellowship. A deepening of the Word in people's lives. And so I stayed in the ministry in Southern Baptist life because I want to see our churches look to the Word of God in their lives. And God has put me in a place right now that I believe He'll let me share this. The other night I spoke to our church in Belmont Heights Baptist Church there in Nashville, and I quoted and shared the Word, and basically what I did was quote the Word for about 30 minutes. And God's Word gripped the kids' lives. It was even the 9-year-olds and above that. The kids just sat glued. They talked to their parents afterwards, you know, and they said, I never heard a sermon like that. I never heard the word proclaimed like that. Well, that affirms the word, the need of the word in my own heart. It affirms the need of the word in the lives of our people. And people who are good people and who love God, and God has redeemed their lives, you know, and God, they will flow towards the Word of God. And the Word needs to be proclaimed. And yet in the process, if we offend men, then we shut them off from this privilege. So take that one there as God would say it to your life, and He would translate it to you. Another thing I would say is be training someone in the local church. Be training someone. If you want to see some things changed in the local church fellowship, be training someone in that situation along with the other ministry that God has given you. Helping them to put the Word of God in their hearts and giving them a vision of discipleship. For example, at this time, I moved to Nashville. I moved away from student life as such, where I was with it daily, you know. But I already, God has given me the opportunity to begin meeting with a college student there in our church. I meet with him every Wednesday night right after prayer meeting for several minutes, and helping him to begin to put the Word in his life and have a quiet time and begin to grow. Another young couple that are there in the church, I've just started meeting with them last Wednesday night and sharing with them about putting the Word in their heart. There's another fellow that has indicated interest, a young guy that's a high school senior that's going to be going on possibly to Baylor, and I'll hopefully get a schedule of meeting with him. They're out of that church fellowship. This can be done, you know, within the church fellowship. What happens then, it rubs off. If God blesses that thing, it rubs off into the lives of other people, and they begin to be trained by people within their own fellowship. And then God will use that, you know. So I think there's some key areas where you'd be working in your ministry, and I think one would be out of the church fellowship. Sometimes we're out here on the campus, we withdraw, and we're spending all of our time with students, which is basically where we ought to be in student work, and yet there is a chance that we are missing one spot there that we ought to be working with a person. Ask God for a person there in that fellowship that you can begin to help, and that's open and that's hungry. And he wants to grow, or she wants to grow in their lives. And another person I'd mention, an example of this, I was at a NAFSA meeting, National Association for Foreign Student Affairs meeting, which is purely a secular organization in our nation that works with international students. You may be familiar with that organization, but I'm related to it because of being an international consultant. And I was at a meeting in Atlanta, a Region 7 meeting, and while I was there, there was a man who came and gave a presentation. I got to talk with him and so on. It turned out that he was a fellow from Nashville. He is the executive vice president, senior vice president of the Commerce Union Bank, and he loans millions of dollars to international people, you know. Well, he liked what I shared with him, and I don't remember even what I shared, but he liked that, and our friendship began. I've been having lunch with him and sharing with him, and he's been very open, and comes out of a Baptist background, and yet had married a person that was a Presbyterian, and they kind of went off there and really hadn't been doing much of anything. And yet God had been working in his heart and drawing him back. He wanted to get back into church and into fellowship. And so I've started meeting with him on a kind of an informal basis, and sometime at lunch. The other day we had an interesting thing happen. I just had gone to a place to speak at another one of the churches there, And they afterwards, the pastor asked me, he said, here's an international who is seeking help financially. Well, he mentioned that they were thinking about helping him as a church. So I went, I said, well, I'll do some checking and call the BSU director on that campus and see how much he knows about him and see what kind of an international student he is. So when I did this, turned out it seemed to be all right. But in the meantime, I'd had lunch with Roy at the bank there, and he mentioned that just in talking about his day, that some international student had taken them for about $1,200. He had transferred from Canada. He'd taken money out of Canada. They got a loan up there and so on. And in other words, it was a dishonest deal. And he had misused their funds. And so they were checking on him and after him. Well, as I came back then and talked to this man at the BSU, he mentioned that this student had transferred from Canada. Well, the two Canadas hit together in my mind a few minutes later after I put the phone down, and so I went back to Roy and called, and sure enough, this student was not in trouble yet, but he is a close associate to two other internationals from the same country who are being watched and expected by the FBI. Roy had the resource there to do that. What was so interesting and exciting to me was the wisdom here and the discernment that God was giving me, and Roy was ministering to me, and I was ministering to Roy in this experience. There are some exciting things that God has for us, you know, if we're sensitive and if we'll pick up on things of ministry in people's lives. Here, and it's broadened my perspective and it's broadened my ministry with him, and our friendship is developing. Wisdom from the Lord. Only wisdom can be given to us from the Lord. Proverbs teaches that. Says in Proverbs 2, every young man who listens to me and obeys my instructions will be given wisdom and good sense. Yes, if you want better understanding and discernment, and you are searching for them as you would for lost money or hidden treasure, then wisdom will be given you and knowledge of God Himself. You'll soon learn the importance of reverence for the Lord and of trusting Him. For the Lord grants wisdom. He grants good sense to the godly, His saints. He is their shield, protecting them and guarding their pathway. He shows how to distinguish right from wrong and how to find the right decision every time. Wisdom and truth will enter the very center of your being, filling your life with joy. That's Proverbs 2, 1 through 10 in the Living Bible paraphrase. Well, another thing that I would share here is ask God for a vision and a burden for prayer. Now, I'll just share something out of my own experience, and you may very well be doing these things all right already. But as I said, if some of these things fit, why, they may be helpful to you. I started praying and putting some folks down on a prayer list specifically. And I have them listed by day. This is just one way to do it. On Sunday, I have prayer lists for various people. I have some guys listed here that I began working with in Arlington, Ed and Mike and Jeff and Mary and Lindsay and Mary Strait, another one. So on several people, there's probably about 20 to 30 people's names on each of these pages for each day of the week. Several of these students are now in the ministry, in seminary. 12 of the guys that were in our fellowship there in Arlington and the gals are now BSU directors that came through our fellowship in the last 5 years, 4 years. So every BSU president that I had is now a BSU director in those 6 years that I was there, and several more that are in the ministry. The other day I was talking with Ed Rollins, my manager of our department, and he has some statistics that I wasn't aware of. But there are 51 students enrolled at Southwestern Seminary from the University of Texas at Arlington that were part of our ministry and are now in seminary preparing for the ministry. Many of these kids' names are here. I started praying for them back in 73 and 74 when God brought them into our lives and have continued to pray for them. Charlie is another guy, Charlie Skaggs. Some of you might have remembered him. He was a guy that we reached in Mexico, went with us on a Mexico trip, and God touched his life and began to work. And he now just started in seminary. He got married, sort of got away for a little while, and now he's back. But I kept praying for him. I put these things down and have dated them when I began to pray for them, and have dated them when God has done some significant things in their life. There must be, you know, 150 to 200 kids in here and that I pray for each week. God answers prayer, and what I'm saying here is that you're already doing this for some extent, but there's a tremendous ministry, and every morning I call so many of these kids' names before the Lord. God will answer prayer, and He teaches us from His Word about prayer, and you know that, which call unto Him day and night, though He bear long with them. Some of them are still, you know, are not in the will of God for their lives and so on. But you continue to pray and you continue to ask that God will draw these people to Himself and into His will for their lives. You know, it takes work. It's going to cost you something to pray every day for so many people. It's going to cost you time. If you're serious and you begin to plead and carry a burden for prayer and you carry it regularly and daily in your life, you know, then it'll cost you something each morning when you lay these people out before the throne of glory. But oh, what a joy as I flip through these pages and see where there are kids and students, people that are serving God. You know. Now, you can do this. God can use your life in this ministry, the ministry of prayer. You can't go and hold hands with all these kids. That's obvious. I've left most every one of these kids. Or they've left me, you know, as far as physical surroundings. But you can pray for their lives. And God's word is that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And only the Lord knows what could happen through your life in the ministry of prayer. By faithfully holding people up day by day. There's no way of us knowing what would happen except as we see God answer prayer. Another thing that I've had here in my prayer list is things of temporary. I break it down that way. Temporary prayer list, like your retreat is coming up. You'd be praying for that, and once it's passed, well then... that would be it. So I have a temporary prayer list of events and things that are coming up in my life and the lives of others that I'm praying for. I have a prayer list of things that I'm praying for in my life that God has provided. There's 51 things here that I've seen God do in my life in answering prayer in my life of specific things, of physical, material needs, as well as spiritual needs in my own life. I have a prayer list for my own life of the spiritual needs in my life as God brings them to my mind. Patience for vision, for hunger for the Word of God in my life. Thirstiness for His righteousness. These things do not come natural in our lives. because our natures are foreign. And we may go through spells and through experiences of the Word, putting the Word in our lives, and then we sort of bail out and so on, you know. And we run through dry spells or desert experiences, I often call them, you know. And seemingly we aren't getting anywhere. So there is a need, in my own experience, I just continue to pray daily that God will give me a hunger for the Word. And every morning I pray for some of these needs, spiritual needs in my life, for the wisdom of God. I pray, and things will happen in my life of decisions and things that I make and answer that I know that I wasn't smart enough to answer myself, but I know that God's wisdom has come to bear on that subject. And God has answered prayer, and I'll recognize that in my life. So, praying for the wisdom of God, praying for the hunger for the Word of God. When I was in college and started there, as I mentioned a moment ago, and the fellow began to share with my life, and I started growing, so on, I started memorizing the Word of God there consistently in my life. At that time, we memorized 3 verses a week, and that was kind of the goal that I set in my life, and started memorized through the topical memory system, and then I started memorizing 3 verses and putting them on cards on my own and recording them in my notebook and so on. I memorized 3 verses a week for 52 weeks a year for 6 solid years. I never missed. This was while I was in college. I went through finals. I went through term papers. I went through summers. I went through graduation. I got married. I went into seminary. And I memorized 3 verses a week, and I reviewed 50 to 60 verses every day of my life for 6 solid years. I don't have to tell you that God's Word laid a real foundation in my life. There is a real need in our lives to be doing one thing consistently. You ought to have one thing that you're doing of spiritual intake in your life consistently, because it builds consistency in other areas of your life. And if you can look to one thing and say, well, I did this at least, as you look back on this year. I remember when I started reading through the Word every year, and that was one of the things that I set as a goal in my life. Now, I have a goal in my own life to memorize so much of the Word of God every month in my life. I've been doing that. May will be my 4th year. To put the Word of God so much in my life every month and be reviewing so many chapters of the Word each morning in my life. There ought to be one thing that you're doing consistently in your life, in spiritual intake. Set a goal there and then go after it. There'll be other things that God will bring to your life that you ought to be doing too. But set one for sure. Another thing that I learned and that I said to my kids, I never asked my kids to memorize the Word of God if I wasn't memorizing it. I never asked them to do anything that I wasn't doing. You know, some of us sometimes get into the pilgrimage of life where you all are right now, and we have learned a few verses, and we have grown a little bit in our life experience and so on, and we can sort of talk a good game, and we can tell the kids how much they ought to be putting the Word in their life and memorize a few verses, you know, that we've memorized and share them with them. But you'll not have the power to challenge them to put the Word of God in their lives unless you are memorizing it. Because it'll come flowing out of your life naturally. And in this experience. And another thing is that when the kids came in my council, as we had an executive council there in the VSU, when they came in for a conference each week, I was having 22 conferences a week with my counsel, and we talked about the spiritual needs of their life as well as the BSU things. And I was meeting with them and training in their lives, and I would ask them, what did you memorize this week? And often when they would finish with what they'd memorized, then I would share a passage with them and ask them to check me out. I share this same kind of lifestyle with my own children. I have 4 children, and I'm helping each of them, their youngsters, to put the Word of God in their life. My oldest daughter, 15 years old, has something like 150 to 160 verses in her heart today. My 11-year-old boy has about 100 verses in his heart today. But you see what happens when they get up early in the morning and begin to review the Word. They get up and they will often catch their dad sitting in a chair reviewing the Word of God. You see, I say so much more by example than I do with my lip. And so if you want to, you see, there are many a pastor, there are many pastors that are standing up and saying, you ought to memorize the Word of God. It'll do you good. But they are not doing that in their own life. I know that there are some of you that are standing and saying to your student, your people, you ought to be memorizing the Word of God when you aren't being consistent in your own life. Now, if you want to have power in your lifestyle and you believe that putting the Word of God in your heart is one of the most vital things that you can do in your life, then you'll have more effectiveness if you're doing it yourself. And when you stand and preach and stand and teach and stand and train, then you'll have something that you can bear down on because it's a reality in your life. If you're standing up and telling men they ought to begin to pray for people and you don't even pray for people consistently in your own life, then you're not going to have that power. You're not going to have that effectiveness. You see? And it really follows through. So, don't be asking your children to do anything that you're not doing. Have a goal in your life and stay with it. Well, another thing I would share then is be developing at least one friendship with one international student here on this campus. And you have all your other ministry, but here's where I would say be touching the life of one other student, one other international specifically. Pray, ask God for someone that you can become friends with and that you could begin to minister in their life. Because you can be doing good things right here, and you all have the vision of discipleship, and you're around this word and this thought and this thing all the time, and I'm grateful for that. But you can be, using my fingers here as an example, you can be around that word discipleship all the time and it not be going any further than right here. But if you're taking one international, you take one international, Max, yourself, and spend some time with that guy, then you have broadened your ministry out to another place in the world, potentially. And not to say that you're not doing good right around here with all these people, but you can touch one part of the world by touching one international. I think that, you know, this was a part of the ministry, and this was something I'd give out to you to share this point. And this was an old diagram that I had in ministry there. And just to share this point, this idea with you, I'd drawn this thing whether there's enough, I have enough or not. I'd drawn this thing around the idea of a ship. And as I said before, we had a council and we operated that way. And each of these oars represented a person on our council. And so you notice the oars are open-ended, And there was a purpose behind this, because in every ministry there, I wanted to reach into the lives of every area of campus life that I could reach into. And so let's take an example of drama. When I started there at UTA as a director, we did not have any emphasis in drama at all. And so as time passed along, a guy came by the BSU. He was a drama major on campus. He got into the fellowship. We started talking with him. I said, hey, we ought to have a drama chairman. So we added that area of ministry in our life, and he began to have a drama. We did an Easter pageant thing out on the campus at Easter. That's where it kind of started. Open air, and we'd have 200 or 300 kids gather around. They got all dressed up like people of the past, you know, in a biblical story, and told the story of Easter. People started coming, and they started getting interested in the drama. Drama majors like to perform. They'd come over to the BSU and get in one of our dramas, and we were doing such quality drama. In fact, our kids got to do two of the major dramas in Glorieta the last 2 out of 5 years there, because of the work that they were doing back on the campus. So those kids had come over, and while they were practicing a drama, they'd meet somebody else in the BSU. And the fellowship that they saw, what was missing in their life. And then several of them, 2 or 3 of them, you know, trusted the Lord, because they'd come in and see what was missing in their life, the Christian fellowship. You couldn't have drugged them from the campus into the BSU with a chain. But you could touch their lives with drama. And so there's where they began to come in. Same thing happened in a newsletter. Girl that was interested in publicity and was a journalism major. We asked her to start doing and working with us in our newspaper. She started working in that, and then we started reaching other kids in journalism. My hope, my thought, and thinking and dream was to reach into the life of every area of campus life. I didn't do that, but that was what I was shooting for. And the ministries there began to open up, and God would begin to touch the lives of students that couldn't care diddly dink about BSU because it was a religious organization, and that turned them off immediately. Well, I don't know whether this thought hits you all, but it may be that there's some other areas of campus life that could be touched through this broadening your perspective of ministry. There may be some gal or guy out there that God wants to use to come into this fellowship and begin to have a ministry, music, drama, and so on. And that doesn't have to in any way take away from the emphasis in Bible studies or your emphasis on discipleship. All that will do is, if you touch that kid's life, is begin to give them a burden for reaching all their drama majors, as an example. So I share that with you because I think we miss some people sometimes because, and this is just an example of that, and maybe some things, because God has given y'all a great ministry here. And this may be a source. It might start with a drama presentation in your vesper service, as an example. You know, and having a Christian drama right there. And they'd come over and see all the kids here, you know, and they would think, man, there's a lot going on here, you know. And that ministry might begin. So that's a thought. And you could apply it in any area that you know your campus better than I do. Well, another thing I would share and ask you to do is to be working at getting the internationals that are here that are Christians to our Christian International Conference. In May, we're having a regional international conference, Christian International Conference, and I'm hoping to share with them in this conference the things of discipleship. I'll be sharing the characteristics of faithful disciple and be sharing, having armor seminars where we'll be talking about scripture memory and prayer life and Bible study and God's will for our life and some of the basic things of the Christian life, helping internationals I want to teach, you know, my heart and desire as an international consultant in America now, and I'll be starting this one and some of the others, is to send internationals back to their country with more than a good feeling towards Americans. And we have programs for them. We have to have. That's ministry, to begin to touch their lives. That's another avenue. I didn't have an international chairman on our campus at UTA when I started. And we got a guy and a gal interested in that, and they started helping, and when we started ministering to internationals. And then we started reaching their lives. But and host family and international wives and Friendship International House at Christmas and so on. These are tremendous programs because they begin the ministry in the lives of internationals. But that's basically what was being done. I want to see us go on deeper than this and send internationals back to their nations with a vision of reaching their country for Christ. And this regional conference is one place. So if you know of Christian internationals, get them at that conference. And then another thing I'd share with you is to get the kids to the Glorieta, international students as well as your own American kids to Glorieta. And we can't provide an atmosphere on this campus or in your fellowship like you can at Glorieta. This is needed here and it's needed at Glorieta. The broadness of this, it'll broaden their perspective. There may be somebody that will touch their lives at Glorieta of an international student that you're not having any area of ministry here at all. And God has something else for this guy to do in Christian ministry. And it may touch his life. And then another thing I'd share is that you'd take these kids and take your own kids to go so that their ministry, their lives can rub off on the other students that are there. Don't send them with the spirit of being critical or we're going to go and tell you how to do it, you know. But share with them. Send them on mission. Send them on mission of love and upon ministry there with the idea that we're going to see what we can learn from other students and what's happening on other campuses. And then as you ask, then they will open up and share other things. You all have so much to offer to them. So send them with a vision of ministry there and of loving and of sharing, because that's the way it'll be passed on. And if we're like I said at the beginning, if we go with that, we can turn them off. But Southern Baptist students need this. As an example, one of our kids in the BSU was on council, and she was selected as a summer missionary, and she went to the orientation there in Texas. She met a couple fellas, and she said, I'm so-and-so from UTA. And they turned to her, and they said, hey, is it true that y'all have to have John 15 memorized on the council, to be on the council? You know, she just asked, they asked her the question. She said, yes, that's right. And they said, well, let's hear it, you know. And so she quoted it to them. Well, what it did was floor them in the first place, and the second thing, it opened up the significance of the Word of God in their life, you know. And so that they, our students, our Southern Baptist kids need the Word of God. And if you all have the Word of God, then you can share it. It's there. It's already in your lives. And it's been emphasized, you know. And if we go with the right spirit and the right vision and right purpose, God will use your lives. Same thing with BSU conventions and LTCs and here in Oklahoma. Go and share that vision, you know, in love. Not in pride, but in humility. You know, whoever exalts himself shall be abased, but he that humbles himself shall be exalted. I would say that, you know, these are some of the things I've shared, what God laid on my heart to share with y'all. And I share it wherever it helps, wherever. Proverbs, another one from Proverbs 18 says, a wise man is always open to new ideas. In fact, he looks for them. And so wherever something has been helpful here, or a new idea, well, ask God to use it in your life if it's there. It may, something I've said may have triggered another thought. It often triggers another thought of some other thing that I don't know anything about, but you do. And God will use that in your life. And as you broaden your ministry and your perspective and vision of ministry. I'm grateful to God for your lives and for the ministry that God has given to Max and to through Max to your lives through the years and for what's happening. It's really exciting. And ask you to pray for my life because God has placed me in a key position this time. And I'm having the opportunity to share the riches of the Word of God with people from all over the world. And that's exciting. Thanks for letting me share this time.
Today's an international student.
How many holes? 20. May 20 and 21. And it'll be down here, Texarkana, near Texarkana there. Yeah, this one in May is Christian Internationals, you know. We want just Christian Internationals there because we're not going to be there to talk about the validity of Christ. We want to share the vision of discipleship and world vision. And we're covering all the basic things. Well, besides what I shared as far as that was sort of a practical thing of ways to list people and so on, that would be a part of it, you know. And then memorizing verses of Scripture along the lines of prayer, you know, and you may already have some, but renewing those. And then I have another thing that I have in the list of things that I have on my own personal prayer list of spiritual needs is I pray God will teach me to pray. You know, I've learned a lot of wonderful things about prayer if I took the time to just share that now, you know. But I still know that I haven't tapped the unsearchable riches of the power and source of prayer. You know, I don't, God has taught me a lot from His Word and from experience and documented now this, you know, these things, all these do is affirm my faith. Somebody wants to know why I pray. You know, well, here's 100 reasons. Because God answers prayer, you know. So I've learned a lot that way. And yet I still continue to pray. God, teach me to pray. Because I know that I'm not tapping the resource that's there. So that'd be one thing, or two things, put in the Word. That's all that comes to my mind right now.
How do you avoid when you have a multifaceted ministry? How do you avoid getting bogged down the details of that and losing your vision?
Yeah. Well, I think that's the danger. You know, I don't care what you're doing, I think that you can get bogged down anywhere in any ministry. I think you can get bogged down right here where you are doing the right things and so on, and yet your ministry perspective begins to go out into things. You can take the lake, for example, and this thing that God has given you here, which is tremendous, but that thing could rob you of ministry. And if you're not real sensitive to that, you know, that can happen. And that's a good thing. That's what I was talking about earlier. Satan will use good things in our life to keep us from the best. Might, like I'm going now to International Consultant, and I've left the campus fellowship. But I know with God being my helper, I'm going to train men wherever I am. And my basic philosophy here is that I need to, number one, as far as ministry to other people, I need to be training people. I had all the programs, and I didn't even get into missions there. You know, we had kids going out as summer missionaries all the time because there's so many of them that came back and have committed their lives to missions after being summer missionaries. That was another area of ministry, of reaching out, you know, in another way that touched the lives of some kids. And we'll touch them for life, you know. But I can, and I had all the ministries going on there and letting the kids carrying them on. But I had number one thing that I knew I was going to do there, and I was going to meet with those 20 kids every week. Now, I know that their BSU directors in Texas and everywhere else, some of them don't even meet with their council in the first place. And the other thing is that when they meet with them, they don't have anything in mind. That's not being critical. That's just they haven't ever had the experience of someone training them, and so they wouldn't be training others. But I knew one of the things in my life that I was going to sit on was I was going to meet with my kids every week, and I was going to teach them and train them in the Word of God. And it's paid off. You know, as I shared, you know, I didn't go into all these people's names, but God has honored that. You see? So, we've got to, this is where you pray for discernment. And I do that. That's another thing I put on my list because I don't have it sometimes, obviously. And so I pray, God, give me discernment as to what I ought to be doing, you know. But I do believe that one of the priorities is to train men. I know my own personal fellowship is first, as far as my own daily fellowship with God. I have time with the Lord every morning. I go to work at 7:30 at the Sunday School Board. We start early down there at 7:30. And so that means that if I have an hour with the Lord, I have to get up at 5:30 and spend an hour from 5:30 to 6:30 and then rush to get ready to be leaving at 7. But that is number one. That's got to be in my life because I know that if that doesn't happen, then my life becomes drained and I become an empty, hollow man. And that is no different for you. And I don't know what your schedule is, but I know that one thing better be there in your life, and that better be your quiet time. And the second thing, as far as ministry to others, and it's related to that, you can't separate that, is to train men. And I can have all the other activities because I was reaching out, and we had the big programs and vesper. We had noondays on our campus because it was so much commuter. But we had 3 noondays a week, and we had those kids coming in for that and so on. But I had at my heart, the center of it was to train men. And you can do that if you've got it in your heart. You know. But I had to keep fighting for that. I don't think that battle's ever going to end. I don't think that's going to end in your lifetime. So cheer up. I guess it'll get worse. You know, I think you're going to have to be struggling with that the rest of your life if you're going to consistently train people, you know, those who pay the price. But I still believe in the broad ministry because there are kids and people who will not take a hold of this. But they'll be out there in general in ministry doing good. And they may not come under our fellowship or our authority and so on, as you'd say, in our lives here as God uses us as a person in their life. But we will do them good. We will bless their lives because they will see what's happening. And some of them I saw as they weren't interested, they're out there on the fringes, but they then later on, somebody in our group would touch their lives that we couldn't touch them. We couldn't get to them, but somebody would come along and be trained into our fellowship and would touch their lives, and then they'd come in. And I saw that happen over the years. You know, don't... I think it's... I pray for vision. That's another thing I've got on my list because I don't know how to have vision. you know, so that I won't narrow down to a group of people, and then I'm missing all the people out here that, you know, that could just be blessed by the ministry. They may never take a hold of this, or it may never take a hold of them, but they'll be in favor of it. They'll be appreciative of it, and they'll tell someone else who may want to get into it. Just don't limit God, you know, here is what I'm saying, I guess. And I don't even know all the depths of that word, but just don't limit Him in what He may want to do through our life.